The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Going to be talking about number 8 this morning. The title of my message is, It's Not Yours. It's Not Yours. One of the first things that kids have to learn growing up is that everything doesn't belong to them. My two-and-a-half-year-old now, he thinks everything is his. Okay, if he has at one point touched it or been like within 10 feet of it, it's his, okay? And so he just began recently, maybe the last 2 or 3 months, using the pronoun my when he describes something. Like even with people, for example, Chris comes over. It's my Chris. Yeah, Josiah owns you, Chris. When Josiah goes over and hangs out at Luce's house, it's my Luce, you know? He has taken ownership in everything around him. And I think that whole idea kind of carries on with us as we get older and older. We have this sense that everything around us is ours, or at least we're entitled to it in some way. And this morning we're going to be talking about what it means to not be entitled to all the things around you, okay? And so take the words of a parent to a toddler that would take something out of their hand and say, that is not yours. Because that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be looking at Exodus 20, 15. And before we do, let's just go to prayer and ask that God opens our eyes this morning. Father, you are such an amazing God. We this morning we sit here and we read through these commands that we've talked about so far. And we understand, Father, that these are not just good ideas that you've laid out for us. God, they're not just suggestions for having a better life. God, these are actually guidelines. These are principles that you want us to take and use in our daily lives. God, may your commands be what defines who we are, so that when people see us, they see you. They see your holiness. They see your righteousness in us, so that we can live out these things. Father, this morning as we look at something that maybe most of us would look at this subject and say, hey, this doesn't have a whole lot to do with me. I'm not a thief. But God, we know that that you have some things to speak into our hearts this morning, God, and I pray the things that you give us would be life-changing. Pray that our day tomorrow would be different because of what you tell us today. Thanks, God. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So let's look at Exodus 20, verse 15. Pretty short. It says, you must not steal. You must not steal. So I'm reading this verse and I'm thinking, I have a whole message to present on these four words. You must not steal. And if you count Exodus 20, 15, it's a few more words there. But, you know, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, wow, I have to build an entire message off of four words. And so I decided to start with the word steal because that makes sense. I thought to myself, okay, if, you know, 5,000-6,000 years ago, Moses is writing down the law that God gave him, and he writes down the word steal, does it mean the same thing today that it meant back then when he wrote it? So I got curious. So I looked it up in the original Hebrew. The word steal is the word ganab. I like the word steal better. Just sounds nicer. Simply means to thieve. To thieve. It's like the active part of being a thief. It's what they do. To carry away secretly to obtain by stealth or deception. Does that sound kind of like the definition we have today of the word steal? Yeah? Okay, well, just to make sure, I looked it up in the dictionary. Here's the definition we came up with from the dictionary, today's modern dictionary. Steal, to take the property of another without permission or right, especially secretly or by force. So the reality is, the definition for the word steal has not changed that much in the last few thousand years. Okay? So does that mean that that everybody who hears the word steal automatically thinks of this definition? The other day, Debbie and I were at our parents' house and we're watching the news, and this news clip comes on. Check this out.
People enter the local convenience store stealing stuff and then fleeing the scene. But in this water shop, there is a twist. The twist, that is, these things are all young women. Anyway, Karen outside Metropolitan Police Headquarters with this story she's been following. Andrea.
In fact, 10 young women, all involved in this brazen daytime heist, and it was all caught on tape. Surveillance video shows the 10 young women casually walking into the Northeast Washington convenience store and shopping. Some are carrying plastic bags. Others cover their faces as if they know they're being caught on camera.
Girls, are you sure? That's unbelievable. I'm shadowed. I'm speechless. I have nothing else to say. Because I can't believe it's 10 girls going around robbing people.
The female thieves grab candy, chips, sodas, and ice cream, roughly 5 items each. At one point, they even load up a shopping bag before running out in a pack. The lone store clerk called police.
Hey, Mom, that's crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
This is crazy.
Crazy and increasingly common. This morning's heist comes just days after a similar incident in Germantown, also orchestrated at a convenience store. In that case, 30 teenagers grabbed what they wanted before hustling out of the store.
And the same thing probably somebody's hungry. Well, who's to say what's right and what's wrong?
Some people with whom we spoke practically condoned the thieves' actions, saying this was a sign of tough economic times.
They didn't go in there and go get no money. So it must have been going to go get some meat. Americans are starving. They're out of work. They're losing their homes. So if teenagers need a flash to get food.
Police investigators told the store clerk on duty they do know who these young women are.
All right, so did you guys hear about this? Did you see it on the news? Apparently this is like the third or fourth time it's happened in the U.S. and it started, I think, in London. That was what I heard. Happened in London, like 30 teenagers did this. And then I guess you call it a copycat crime. What's fascinating to me is not the fact that some teens have banded together and have strategically figured out how they can rob a convenience store. I'm impressed by that. But the thing that really stands out to me is the reactions of the people that are interviewed. And so going back to the whole definition of the word steal, okay? Do we think that the word steal means the same thing today that it meant when God handed Moses this law? Based on some of the quotes, let me just read some of them for you in case you missed. Someone said, if it was all food and drink they took, I mean, I don't think that's horrible. Americans are starving. They're out of work. They're losing their homes. So if teenagers need to flash to get food, Americans are starving, really. I'm not starving. That's me, but what about this one? In the state of the economy, somebody's hungry. Who's to say what's right and what's wrong? Man, that... I was listening to the news, and I was actually kind of almost in the other room when the news came on, and I hear this, and I step into the room. I'm like, rewind that. What did that lady say? Did she really say that? I mean, is that really the thought process that went through her mind? And I went on this website and looked at some more responses to this, and there were several other quotes and responses, and a lot of people disagreeing with the behavior, but some people saying, you know, in this day and age, it might just be okay. And then the mayor of D.C. gets on the air, and he's ticked at the responses, and he says, there's no way that I would ever condone this behavior, no matter what state our economy is in. So, I mean, teenagers robbing a convenience store, I mean, let's talk about the fact that maybe they were starving. Maybe they were, I don't know, famished, parents out of work, no money to buy food. I mean, you go into a place, you grab a nutritious bag of Doritos, you know, thing of ho-hos. It's sustenance, right? Here's the thing. The lady says, who's to say what's right and what's wrong? I have one more quote for you. Here it is. You must not steal. God said that. I'm going to go with that quote right there. And that brings us to our first point this morning. Stealing is never right. Stealing is never right. There is no circumstance that justifies taking something that doesn't belong to you. It will always be breaking God's law. Okay? I'm going to say it one more time. There's no circumstance that justifies taking something that doesn't belong to you. It will always be breaking God's law. See, here's the thing. When we first hear something like this, a law that says, do not steal, then right away, or actually any law, right away in our minds, we start trying to think of the scenarios that it doesn't apply to. Okay, because that's what we are. We're people that make excuses. And so right away we're like, okay, now that doesn't apply to every situation. Okay? I mean, let's just say, for instance, I mean, you've been shipwrecked. You're the only survivor. And you have to take of other people's belongings in order to survive. You're forced to steal. Who's going to fault you for that? I don't think that's going to happen to the majority of us. I'll tell you what. I will make one exception, and maybe God will forgive me for this. One exception, if this ever happens to you, where you have to borrow or steal a volleyball, and it becomes like your best friend when you're on shipwrecked on an island, and you know, you have to take that. Man, I think we should give that to you. But it comes with a price. Because when you lose that bad boy, anybody see Castaway? Did you cry when he lost his volleyball? I did. I'm laughing now, but I cried when I was watching it. I really, Wilson! I was like, it's not real. It's just a movie. Person next to me. Dude, it's not real because it's a volleyball. All right. So here's what we do in our minds. We make all these exceptions. You know, okay, if I'm in this specific situation, then maybe it's okay to steal something. Okay, I'm joking about Wilson. Don't steal Wilson. Here's the deal. For us, we're always looking for the exception to the rule. And I think that more than looking for a way out, we need to actually take the command that God's given us, take the principle, and allow it to soak in to our life. Okay? So instead of looking for a way around it, allow that principle to be something that defines our behavior. And in every situation, no matter how unique it is, okay, deserted island or not, God is going to provide you with that moral compass. And he's going to say, here is my command, here is my law, and this is what I say. What is your response going to be? And my friends, the word steal has not changed over the years. It still means the same thing. And I hope that this morning, maybe we can draw just a little more truth and maybe a little more real experience out of what God is telling us here. And we'll start with this. We'll start with the stuff that kind of hurts right up front, because we've already given you an excuse. You know, we've already said you're looking for the exception, and it's Wilson. Okay, here we go. God's law about you must not steal. This includes, number one, cheating the government. Cheating the government. Okay, you're a citizen. You live here in the United States. You have that privilege. There are laws that we have to follow. And yet somehow, a lot of folks feel it's okay to fudge a little bit on their taxes. And the justification is almost understandable. I mean, you're like, this is my hard-earned money. This is something that I worked for. You know, I should try to keep as much of it as I can, even if I have to, you know, tell a little white lie to be able to hold on to a little bit more. But the reality is, you know, Jesus told us in the New Testament, he said, give unto Caesar, who happened to be the government at the time, what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. In other words, he said, the authority that God has placed over you, that's who you abide by. Okay? And unless that authority goes into direct opposition to God's word, they have to be followed. And this may be hard for some of you to hear, but I believe, according to this command, that God would call cheating the government in any way, tax, whether it be taxes, whatever it is stealing. It's stealing. Number two, misusing funds, such as financial aid. I threw that in there because I hear this all the time. People, you know, apply for financial aid for whatever purpose, and then they decide after they get the financial aid to use it for things other than what it's intended to be used for. You can get arrested for that. It's called fraud. But more importantly, it's stealing, and it's against God's law. And so that's hard for us because we can justify that. We're like, man, I really needed this particular thing. You know, I mean, I know that I'm supposed to buy books, you know, but I really needed that Nintendo DS. I mean, I needed that to get through college. I mean, how am I supposed to survive without that? Misusing funds in any way. I'm picking on financial aid because I hear a lot of talk about that. Misusing any kind of funds, any money that's designated for something else, if you use it for your own purposes, that's stealing. That's taking something that does not belong to you. And I believe that God would tell us, don't do it. Don't do it. What about this one, number three? This is going to hurt a little bit more. Finders keepers, losers weepers. Yeah. We've all been on the playground, found something cool. And the kid on the other side of the playground is like, that's mine. And you're like, finders keepers, losers weepers. Start crying. And they usually do. And there's actually laws in place that have to do with, you know, when you find something that's not yours, you know, if it's on someone else's property, it belongs to that property owner. You know, if it's older than a certain date, you know, then there's other rules for it. If it's out in the middle of the ocean, you know, it's anybody's. It's like all these different rules that are laid down. A couple of stories for you. I'll tell you two stories. One is my Walmart story. I shouldn't have said the name of the business, but I did. It's too late. Walmart. Why did I do that? Just whenever the word Walmart comes up on the podcast, just beep it. No, don't do that. That'll sound bad. So I'm in the parking lot, and I find some money blowing around the parking lot. And I'm like, whoa. So, you know, somebody lost their money. It was a little bit windy, too. And you know how right in front of the store, wind kind of swirls, and so money is just like a little cyclone of money. I'm like, oh, cool. So I got it all together. It was like $260. That's a lot of money to find in the parking lot. Okay, if it's a quarter, then, you know, you're like, hey, quarter. You know, but $260. So I gather all this money together, and I'm like, dude, I cannot take this money. This is somebody's money. So I decided to go into the place of business and go to the customer service counter, and I said, I found a large sum of money in the parking lot. Could you announce if anybody lost anything valuable to come to the desk? Okay. I didn't say money. I said make sure it's something. If you lost something valuable in the parking lot. Okay. So the lady was kind enough to make the announcement. She did several times. And I waited and I waited and I waited. I was actually there like an hour waiting. And I'm like, by this time, these people are long gone. I mean, this money is not mine. Okay. So I tell the lady, can we put that in an envelope? And then, you know, you could put it behind the counter in a safe or someplace, you know, where it won't be touched. And maybe someone will come back looking for it, because that's a lot of money to lose. And I said, and by the way, if they don't claim it, then you know, what's the policy on that? And she said, oh, there's like this, you know, no one claims it within so many days, then whoever finds it can come back. You know, it happens with stuff that's lost. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, all right. So a month passed by, and I decided to go back to Walmart and check on this. So I go to Walmart, and I ask about this. It took me a long time to see this envelope again. When I did see the envelope, it was open, and there was $40 in it. I'm like, did I do something stupid? A lot of people would say, yes, you did. Here's the thing. That money didn't belong to me. I didn't steal it. Somebody else did steal it, though. And I walked away from that situation not feeling like, oh, man, I just lost $260. No, I walked away from that situation saying to myself, you know what? I did the right thing. I did the right thing. Another situation. Now, I don't know what it is with parking lots and money, but I'm going into another store. Albertsons. Oh, it slipped again. It's not about the store this time. And I find some money in the parking lot. This time, it's in a wad and actually has a rubber band around it. And I'm like, whoa, this looks like a lot of money. And I'm just from looking at it, I'm guessing it was like $600 to $800, somewhere in the neighborhood. So I'm like, wow, I've never found this much money in a parking lot before. What do I do? I know, you guys are all going to go to the parking lots after this. You're like, yeah, follow me around. They're going to be like, that's mine. So I find this money, and I decide, okay, I'm going to go inside. Somebody dropped a large amount of cash, and this is going to be bad for whoever's in there trying to pay for their food or whatever they're buying. So I walk in. I had one of the kids with me. I don't remember who it was. This was like 6, 7 years ago, one of my youth kids with me. And so I walk into to Albertsons, and there's a man right away, and there's cash registers that are being used, like 4 or 5 lines, and there right away my eyes go to this man who is reaching into his pocket, getting ready to pay, and he gets this look on his face, this look of extreme horror. I mean, this guy like turned white as a ghost, and he reached in his pocket, and his money wasn't there. And it was God, obviously, because I don't know how else that could have happened. And so I walk right over to that guy, and I'm like, hey, did you drop some money in the parking lot? He's like, yes, I did. I'm like, was it a lot of money? He's like, yes, it was everything I have. And so I'm like, all right, here you go. And I started chatting with him after he had paid for his stuff. He said, hey, could you hold on a second? And so I waited, and we started talking. He had just come out of a Christian rehab program, and he had just gotten his first legitimate job. This is his first paycheck ever. He had just cashed it. He was there with his family, buying his family groceries. And finally, for the first time in his married life, doing the most responsible thing he'd ever done for his family. And the guy reaches into his pocket and no moolah. I mean, can you imagine? The guy started crying. I mean, he literally, when he started telling me this, he just started, and I was like, you know, started crying. I cried about Wilson. Come on. I mean, so I'm like, tears are coming down my face too, and the kid is with me. He's like, why is everybody crying? But I was like, man, that if I would have stuck that money in my pocket, that would have been the most self, aside from being, you know, stealing and being wrong. Can you imagine what this guy's next few weeks would have been like? I mean, what would that have done to him and to his family? Why do I tell you those stories? You know, I'm not saying there's a story behind, some kind of, you know, emotional, crazy story behind every situation that you're going to come into where you're tempted to take something that doesn't belong to you. But my point is this. God will honor the fact that you choose not to steal. God will honor that. And when it comes to finders, keepers, losers, weepers, I mean, let's face it. This is an old adage. I mean, people have been saying this for years. And it talks about two people. A person who found something and a person who lost something. Okay? Do you ever hear a person who lost something saying finders, keepers, losers, weepers? Have you ever heard someone, you know, lost a $20 bill. Someone else finds it. Oh, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. It's yours, buddy. I lost it. You know, that's the saying goes, you know, can't go against the old adage. My grandma told me that. here's the thing. This statement is not for losers. This is for the finders. And thereby, I would say that that statement goes against God's law. It goes against God's law. Because when you take something that doesn't belong to you, it's stealing. That's what it comes down to. And you know what? We'll get real offended by a video that shows 10 girls going into a convenience store and stealing stuff and running back out. We get upset about that, you know? We're like, man, I can't believe they had the gall to do something so wrong and so offensive. But yet when it comes to things like cheating on our taxes, misusing funds, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, you know, it's like not as big of a deal because now we're talking about us. Look at this verse, Romans 2:21. Paul says this, "You who preach, you must not steal. Do you steal?" It's a question. You who preach, you must not steal. Do you steal? Paul says, okay, you're saying I'm a Christian, therefore, if you're a follower of Jesus and you would legitimately say, I am someone who's trying to live my life for Christ, okay? Therefore, you're claiming that the statement, do not steal, is something that you live by virtue of the fact that you're a follower of Jesus. But do you steal? We can say this about every command that God's given us. But if we claim to be a follower of Christ, then these shouldn't just be commands, but these should actually be principles that we live our lives by. These things should define who we are. They should separate us from the masses. Because if someone comes to you and interviews you on the street, you don't know if you're going to end up on the evening news saying something that's the most foolish thing that's been said all day. And something, by the way, that's totally in opposition to what God says about it. Stealing is never right. It's never right. Secondly, stealing is a symptom. Stealing is a symptom. Why do I say stealing is a symptom? I want to read a passage for you from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, I'm going to read 21 through 30. It says, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Verse 28, "If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live." Did you hear the passage that I just read? It says, basically, that if you have met Jesus, your life is going to be different. It says, if you're a thief, stop stealing. See, your life used to be defined, the thing that characterized your life before Christ was lust and deception, okay? Which is all rooted in selfishness and pride. If you are a follower of Jesus, if God has come into your life and if he has transformed your life is different now. Those things are no longer a part of who you are. Because in Christ and by his power, you're an overcomer of those things. You can live in victory. So why do I say stealing is a symptom? Because of this, we need to recognize that if stealing is an issue in our lives, it's indicative of a much greater problem in our relationship with our Savior. In other words, if you're struggling with this thing about stealing, there's a bigger problem here. And the problem is that you have not matched up your life with what God says should be true of you if you're a follower of him. The change that Jesus has made in your life, you have to begin to question that. You have to begin to say, you know, God, have I truly experienced a change that makes me different from the world around me? See, if this is an issue for you, Don't say, okay, I just need to stop stealing. No, I need to get right with God. I need to get things right with Jesus. Because if I make things right with God, I'm going to stop doing things that are offensive to Him. Stealing is a symptom. And not only is stealing a symptom, but stealing is an offense to God. Number three, stealing is an offense to God. Now, this, you might say, that kind of goes without saying. But I want you to hear it in light of what David says in Psalms 51, verse 4, about his sin. What he says. He says, against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Are you understanding what his thinking is here? He says, yeah, I may have hurt somebody, and I may have offended somebody, and I may have done something to wrong somebody. And you remember when we started the Ten Commandments series, we said, the first part of the series is going to be about our relationship with God, and then the second part was going to be about our relationship with others. We're in that part. It's our relationship with others. And so you would think that stealing has to do with offending another person. But until you recognize that your sin of stealing is an offense against God Himself, you're not going to change it. Because you can justify offending somebody else. Why? Because everybody's sinful and everybody offends you. People offend you, and so sometimes you can somehow in your mind make the excuse that it's okay to offend them as well. We need to come to a point in our lives when it comes to this and any other issue where we're crossing the line that God has set for us. We need to come to a place where we say, my sin is a direct offense against God. I am doing something that offends a holy and righteous God. That's the problem here. The problem is not that you're stealing. The problem is that you're going against what God, who is perfect and holy, says is wrong. Stealing is an offense to God. And so it's, when you think of it that way, it's not so much about the person you've wronged. It's about your sin before a holy God who desires His followers to walk in integrity. See, God has a path that He wants us to follow. And His path is that we would do the things that bring Him honor, that we would live lives of integrity. And when you do something that's offensive to God, you're stepping right off that path. And you're basically saying, God, I'm not representing You because I'm doing my own thing. I'm living for myself. I'm pleasing myself in this. And we have got to get a grasp on this idea that when we offend God, or when we steal, we're offending God, not the person we're stealing from, not the company we're stealing from, not the organization or entity, not the government, Big Brother. We're not, it's so easy. When I was a kid, I stole some stuff that I got busted for. Okay, one thing I stole was a thing of Lifesavers from the store. I stole it, put it in my pocket, we get into the car, I'm so smart, I open that pack of Lifesavers and pop one in my mouth. We're in the car, windows rolled up. What happens when you open up some candy? Everybody in the car smells it. Where's that candy? Who has candy? My mom's like, where did you get that? Someone gave it to me. I had to go back to the store, and I had to apologize. It's like, who am I going to apologize to? I'm going to go up to the rack of the store. I'm sorry for taking this. Here you go. I would have liked to have done that. No, my mom's like, can we talk to the manager? And could you call 911? No, she didn't say that. But I had to apologize to the manager, and I'm here with this pack of Lifesavers, one missing. By the way, I swallowed that bad boy. I'm like, I'm getting something out of this. I was confronted with my sin, and it was humiliating. It was humiliating. Another time, I stole some money out of my mom's, or maybe my dad's wallet. I don't think my mom has a wallet. Yeah, I took some money. I was in high school. I'm like, yeah, I could use this money. How did I get caught? I turned myself in. I'm like, hey, my dad comes home from work. This is literally what happened. My dad comes home from work. He's all sweaty because he's been working hard, and I've been, doing whatever teenagers do that, not as productive. as my dad. And so I'm looking at my dad, I'm like, my dad worked so hard, and I just took the money that he earned. And so I returned it. And I got in trouble, big trouble, for doing that. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, I'll return it. Dad will be like, you know what, I forgive you, son. And by the way, it's very noble of you to return that money. And then my dad was like, you know what, let me just take my belt off real quick. And yeah, it wasn't good. If we were caught and humiliated every single time we took something that didn't belong to us, I think we would stop doing it. Like what Jerry says, you know, if someone cut off a piece of your finger every time you stole something, you'd stop stealing. But the fact is, for the most part, it's just us and God. Two people know about this, me and God. Now, that puts the ball in a different court. Because now we're not in our own little playland. We're not in our own little scenario we made up on Castaway, you know. We're actually in the presence of God. We're in God's throne room, and we're saying, God, I've taken something that doesn't belong to me. I've offended you. What do I deserve because of this? Well, let's be honest. What you deserve is death. Now, California, they don't give you the death penalty for stealing something. But God does. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? The death penalty for stealing something. Here's the thing. All sin, the penalty of sin is death. But it just so happens that Jesus gave his life so that you could be forgiven for your sin. And not only so that you could be forgiven for your sin, but so that you could go on from that point and live a life free of that sin. That's the reason Jesus went to the cross. And to dip back into the thing that God has freed you from is to say, you know what, Jesus, that was a nice sacrifice, but it doesn't mean a whole lot to me because I still want my way. I still want to do the things that I want to do. Thank you for dying for me, but another verse in Psalms 51, David says, but you desire honesty from the womb. Teach me wisdom even there. You know, David's pretty intense about this. He's like, even before I'm born, teach me wisdom. He's saying, God, you know, I need this. Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Here's the thing. If you've offended God in this way, by breaking his command, do not steal, God is there to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. But God doesn't want to just forgive you and purify you from that sin. God wants you to change. He wants your life to be different. And so how much different is next week going to be if you literally take the command, do not steal, and you apply it to every day of your life in light of the things we've talked about? I mean, that's some serious changes in our life. That's down to, like, you know, our daily tasks, the things that we're doing. We're going to alter some things because we want to honor God in this in every little way. See, as followers of Jesus, our lives must be, without question, lives of integrity before others and before God. That's the life that God's called us to live. And I believe if you take the commandments that we've talked about and the ones that we're going to talk about the next couple weeks, Frank speaking next week, if you take these commandments and you apply these things to your life, you don't just let them be something that was written and something that you're familiar with or you know about, but you actually let it to be something that defines your character and your behavior. I believe we'll be doing the right thing by God. And after all, that's what it's all about. It's all about bringing God the honor and the glory that he deserves. Hey, talk about stealing. You steal God's glory. Do you think God's going to be happy with that? No way. I don't want to steal any of God's glory. I want to represent God the way that he deserves to be represented. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.